The Tom Woods Show, episode 688.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, it's almost that time. Bob Murphy and I are putting on the event of the year. It's the Contra Cruise, setting sail in October 2016. We've got game show style games in store for you. We got music and karaoke. We got great fellowship sessions, a live recording of the current episode of Contra Krugman, and much more. So check it out at ContraCruise.com. If you're a homeschooling parent, you're probably working too hard. Check out the Ron Paul curriculum, which is self-taught and gives your kids an education you and I would have given our right arms for. Plus, get $160 worth of free bonuses when you join through my special link, ronpaulhomeschool.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. I'm so happy about this episode because here we get to commemorate and look back upon the success of a guy I am very pleased to call a friend, and that's Michael Bolden, founder and executive director of the 10th Amendment Center, which has had a tremendous impact in terms of getting people of all ideological persuasions to think more carefully about decentralization as the solution to a lot of controversial questions in America. And he's been able to become really the go-to guy on questions of the 10th Amendment and decentralization, even to the point where big media will turn to him now and get the opinion of the 10th Amendment Center on a whole variety of questions. And he's been totally unpredictable because he's not just championing what you might call right-wing causes. His view is decentralization across the board, and that's meant that some people are willing to go with him part of the way, but not the whole way. But that's okay. He's going to be the guy who goes the whole way. He's just a wonderful human being and a great and, I think, highly underrated strategist. And he's had great success, 10 years with the 10th Amendment Center. So I thought we'd talk about his various successes, failures, what he's learned from it, what kinds of advice he might give to people who are thinking to try to do something kind of like what he does. 10thAmendmentCenter.com is the website where you can check them out. And I'm glad to welcome him now, Michael Bolden. Welcome back to the show. All right, now look, it's not a Tuesday, so this is not a 10th or Tuesday. And in a way, that's just as well, because we're not, you know, well, surely the 10th Amendment is bound to come up in the conversation. But I guess I just want to know, here you are tomorrow about to have your 10th anniversary, and, you know, surely you've picked some stuff up. You've learned stuff. You've not just about the 10th Amendment, but organizationally and in an activist sense and working with people and things that work and things that don't and successes and failures and all that stuff. So I thought that's what we're going to talk about, 10 years of the 10th Amendment Center. And really, you were the guy who did it. So it's not like I have to say, well, you know, there are 1,000 people I could choose from to talk to about this. You're the guy. You were my number one episode guest, episode number one of the Tom Woods Show, Michael Bolden. So here you are back on episode 688. All right, let's start at the beginning. There's so many juicy things I want to ask. Let's start at the very beginning. You started it in 2006. What was the, was there some kind of last straw where you said, doggone it, that's it, I'm starting the 10th Amendment Center? Was it a gradual thing? Did you get advice from friends? Like, what, how did it happen?
So the last straw actually happened a few years before that with the Iraq War, and I became, so I was mostly just disgusted by politics, didn't care, thought it was dumb, never voted, still haven't, by the way, and the Iraq War got me active. I started doing things, but I was very much involved in the anti-war movement and involved with the hard left in resisting or protesting the Bush Wars, as they called it. Supposedly it was just Bush. And
by the way, hey, well, hold on, let me jump in. You've never really told me about that phase of your life. Now, why is that?
Well, no one ever asks.
Oh, well, consider yourself asked.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. So, Michael Bolden, the leftist. I want to know about that.
Michael Bolden, the former nightclub promoter who took 2 years off after I gave up working, booking acts in nightclubs here in Los Angeles and San Francisco and elsewhere. And I was kind of just floating through life, ordering delivery all the time, wasting my time. And I started reading, we'll put it that way. And I was picking up things from all over the place. I mean, I was a big Chomsky kind of reader until I stumbled into Harry Brown. And the war really, like I said, really got me going. So I instead of just learning about things, I was like, well, this is a bit much. I got to start doing something. I didn't know, so the first thing I did was I started working with an organization called Coalition. Actually, before that, wow, an organization called Al-Auda. It was a right to return Palestinian organization. So I did some volunteer work on the Middle East issue and then the Iraq War. So the whole story is actually wrong now that I remember it. And then the Iraq War got me out protesting in the streets with an organization here in Los Angeles called the Coalition for World Peace. But over a couple of years of working with them and volunteering, I noticed that the message really wasn't anti-war. It was mostly, hey, no war, but replace it with this, 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 and this. And I think it was the Harry Brown reading that really kind of got me understanding that if you just had government do different stuff other than war, it would also suck. And so my eyes just kind of opened to that slowly. And
what got you into Harry Brown in the first place? Because that's the key. If you can get people to read Harry Brown, that's the hard part.
It was his radio show. So I don't know where it was from. I probably found a link on Reddit or something like that. Just basically just doing stuff. I had a lot of time on my hands because I wasn't really working any job, or I had a part-time customer service job working for some e-commerce company, something like that. And I had a lot of time on my hands. And if I was working, I was probably listening to podcasts and online radio shows and things like that, conspiracy shows, and just stuff. And I was taking in all kinds of information. But the stuff that stuck was Harry. So that really, really had an influence.
Okay, all right. So go ahead. So keep going.
So it was a slow transition working with the peace organizations over a period of years. And I just started seeing that it wasn't just war, but it was basically everything they did was either a ripoff or a lie, or they screwed up, or they did it wrong, or they just weren't supposed to be. Maybe they shouldn't be doing it. Why is anybody doing this at all in government? So these are the types of things that crossed my mind. Now, mind you, when I was much younger, my mentality was totally opposite. So I remember thinking about the airline bailouts, and my initial thought was, well, not that they shouldn't do a bailout, but that, well, if the government's going to bail out the airline, shouldn't they just own them? So that was my mentality. I had shifted from that mentality to, well, maybe government shouldn't be doing any of this stuff. And at some point, I was reading a blog, and it was the First Amendment Center. And I thought, well, there's a few other amendments. And I went out and I looked up some things that were important to me. And I liked the 4th and the 5th and the 10th. And I actually bought domain names for 4th Amendment Center, 5th Amendment Center, 10th Amendment Center. And I did some blogging on all, maybe not the 4th, but on all those a little bit at first. And the 10th is the one that took off. It made the most sense to me.
Wow, that is great.
That's
okay.
The first time ever told in a public, well, other than over a drink, maybe.
Right, okay. So here you are in 2006, in the middle of the Bush years, which meant, by the way, that you're able to say in the Obama years to people who say, well, where were you during the Bush years? You could say, running the 10th Amendment Center is where I was. As a matter of fact, thanks for asking.
Actually, what I usually say is, I was right here. Where were you in the Bush years?
Yeah. Good answer. So you've got the 10th Amendment Center. You got the domain. You're ready to go. What's the first thing you do?
I just start writing blogs. My goal when I first got the thing going, so I registered in 2006. Well, the first thing I did was, oh, wow, now I need to learn how to use this WordPress thing. So if we would have had this how to blog thing back then, Tom, it may have been a little quicker than the 6 months it took me before my first blog. So I just started researching, kind of planning on things, and I started blogging. I really don't even know. I'm going to have to, maybe sometime tomorrow or over the next week, I'll post some of those original blogs again on my site. I don't know what it was. I know Real ID was a big one. I talked about weed a lot because I was seeing that states were basically doing things in contravention to federal programs, and I thought that was extremely interesting. It basically kind of developed this blueprint over a period of years as I watched that in the first few years. But it was mostly a blog. My goal was, okay, I am sick of this. I hear all these people talk about being constitutionalists, and then they're like, okay with George Bush. And almost everything that guy did was extremely awful as well. I mean, so I was just wanting to point out that it didn't matter who was in charge. Government power would keep growing and doing things they weren't supposed to be doing.
Has the 10th Amendment Center grown more radical over the years?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Sometimes I worry that it's less radical.
Ah, okay.
I mean, I worry that it's possible. I've never really stepped back to say, okay, here are the things that, you know, we do, and here are the things that we push. And I think we've gotten more aggressive and more broad in how we approach things. So maybe more radical in the fact that, I guess, yes, because instead of just blogging about things, now we're actually telling people to flat out resist or disobey. So in a way, that's, I guess one could call that radical. To me, it just seems that's like a common sense gun law, is to refuse all gun control restrictions.
Well, I'll tell you why I got that impression. It seemed to me that it's only maybe in the second half of the existence of the 10th Amendment Center that the emphasis has been so strong on nullification in particular, as opposed to just the 10th Amendment more generally.
Sure, and I think that kind of has really evolved over time, too. And even my own understanding of it has evolved. And now the way I see it is probably a little bit different than what they were expecting to have to be done to nullify something back in the day, 18th century, mid-19th century. Because the federal government is so overstretched in what they do, almost everything that they do requires assistance from state and local entities, whether agents or law enforcement or different, like an environmental agency. So everything relies on participation. So we view, in a practical sense, that the best path forward now is similar to what Hans Hermann Hoppe talked about in his speech back in 97, just stop enforcing federal laws, and as Hoppe said, they'll become nothing more than hot air.
All right, I want to talk about running an organization and the frustrations and the successes. Tell me about something that you did, or a strategy that you pursued, or anything like that, that really you would either describe as an outright failure or just didn't live up to your expectations. And what did you learn from that?
Oh, okay, Obamacare. Total failure, didn't live up to my expectations. And because once that came out, in fact, even before the first court case at our nullification event in Fort Worth, the first one that we ever hosted that you were the headline speaker at, Tom, one of my quotes in that speech, which made it into the nullification documentary that Jason Rink put together, was, okay, the Supreme Court may have an opinion on Obamacare, but let's see them come and enforce it. So we started from that point to basically activate people on the right to tell them, look, just don't participate in this thing. Get your states to resist it. Don't expand the Medicaid. Just all these different things that they shouldn't be doing. In some ways, it happened. But what much of the conservative movement has spent their time on is, you know, well, we got to go to court. We got to vote people out. Then we got to go to court again. Then we got to vote people out. And they keep doing the same thing over and over again. And it's really not doing the trick. And now they're going to probably end up with someone who's either going to expand the program or just repeal it and replace it with something else. It's, to me, that's, I don't know if it's a failure necessarily on my part, but I guess I really had more of a belief that people on the right would just say, screw this. I mean, why should we participate in this in any way? And that really has not happened in that type of large effect.
Okay, so by contrast, what was something that, and it didn't necessarily have to exceed your expectations, although that'd be nice, but something where you look back and say, wow, that's really great, and I'm really proud that I did that.
Well, there's this guy in Vermont that I think is awesome, and I wish I could think of his name. I gave a speech with the Restore the Fourth organization talking about this guy. I'll have to look it up at some point. But basically, he's a hemp farmer. And so Vermont legalized hemp a couple of years ago. Well, they didn't necessarily legalize it. They basically just removed the criminal penalties, and they passed this law where the governor said, okay, well, I'm signing this, but just make sure you know that this is still against federal law and you could be prosecuted. So one of the first three people that started farming hemp in Vermont They interviewed him on Vermont Public Radio and said, hey, this is against against federal law. You could be arrested. You're illegally importing seeds from Europe, from Germany or France, somewhere that he got them from overseas. Do you think this is worth it? And he said, absolutely, this is worth it because this is what I believe in. And I think that mentality, to me, I don't think he got it from us, but this is the message that we preach every day. Look, if you believe that it's right, you have to just start doing it. You cannot wait on the federal government to stop violating your rights or giving you permission to allow you to exercise your rights. You have to just start doing it, whether they want you to or not. And that, to me, is extremely exciting. And I think there are more and more people across the political spectrum that are really starting to believe, even though I just kind of poo-pooed the whole conservative side of the spectrum on Obamacare. But I think there are individual cases where people are starting to take their rights into their own hands.
All right, let's talk about, because you just mentioned conservatives, let's talk about people whom you've worked with that maybe might be unlikely people. And then maybe let's then talk about people you would have thought you'd be able to work with and yet don't want to work with you.
Oh, man.
you want to do the second one first?
No, you pick and choose.
Let's do the second one first, because you would have – I mean, if we took these people at their word, if we took right-wing radio at their word – yes, that's right. I'm choosing your answer for you.
Oh, man.
If we took them at their word, Mark Levin would have been on board for nullification. The Heritage Foundation would have been on board. The Cato Institute would have been on board. And every single one of these has fought you every step of the way because you might do something other than publish policy reports that go immediately into the garbage can.
Yeah, in fact, they probably – those, I say on the right or yeah, whatever we want to classify all those as – have been more aggressively against what we do than the left.
That is amazing, but boy, that says a lot. And I sure hope, especially my most recent listeners – I've gotten a huge influx of listeners recently – will take this to heart. Because I had to learn this the hard way. I supported a lot of these groups for a long time. I thought their hearts were in the right place. And then when push comes to shove, you know, they're off endorsing Orrin Hatch. You know, they're off doing whatever.
I think there is a mentality on the right that it's about being law-abiding. It's about following the rule, using the system. I mean, not all of the system, at least some of the system, the elections and the courts, and then that's it. And then if you resist, you get out in the streets, you disobey, that is considered a tool of the left. And then it's given disdain. You're referred to as a communist a lot. In fact, they called us communists a lot in the Bush years. I would be continually by people on the right called communist because I opposed an unconstitutional or an immoral war, for example. This is very common. Then again, I come from the left personally. I was a hard lefty, if I were to identify with something as younger. So maybe there's something in the way that I approach things that is a turnoff to some of these organizations. I don't know. Anytime I've tried to reach out in a positive way, it's generally I either get blown off or told that we're the bad guys. So.
All right. So how would you say the strategy, if you might call it that, of the 10th Amendment Center has evolved over time as a result maybe of not just of events, but also of your own experience running the 10th Amendment Center?
Well, one thing that I've learned is that, again, it's not the left isn't great on board either. They're definitely not. They're absolutely atrocious. I think both sides, if you're talking about the establishment or the mainstream, are horrible. They're wrong in almost everything they do in their constitutional approach. They're wrong on liberty. They're wrong on the role of government. They're wrong on strategy for what they want to accomplish. So what I've learned is that if you try to basically convince everybody that they're wrong, you're not going to get very far. So I used to go into things and basically just hammer on everybody. And a lot of times I would push them into submission and convince them how they've made a mistake in their approach. But then strategically, that didn't really work too well. You don't build too many friends by pointing out people's flaws. So what I started to do more, and I think this is probably more the influence, again, of Harry Brown. I hope everybody is reading Harry Brown. Rest in peace. But I started to focus more on finding common ground. Look, I can go to a hard leftist. Anthony Gregory, I'm sure you've had him on the show, Tom.
Oh, sure.
So Anthony once told me this great story from a few years ago about living in Berkeley. He said, you know, what's interesting about the really hard communist left, sometimes they come around all the way to the right. And he gave this example basically saying that he had talked to this commie and the person said, yeah, of course I believe in the right to keep and bear arms. We, you know, viva the union, the workers, we have to be armed. So sometimes you're going to find common ground. It may not be for the same reason. But if you want to advance, for example, that issue, you speak in certain terms to certain people to accomplish a particular goal, and they may fight you on everything else. But the end result is, if you're working, if you've got your hands going in 50 different directions, working with different people in different groups on various different things, you're going to move the ball forward almost all the time.
Suppose somebody asked you, what if you had to just say one thing, it can be a big thing, but one thing that you would say the 10th Amendment Center has done, like what would you say, how has it influenced the U.S.? How are things different now? How are we speaking or talking or thinking or acting in some way that's different from how we were before there was a 10th Amendment Center?
Well, I think there were two polls each in the last maybe two summers. Rasmussen did these polls. Basically saying, should states opt out or block federal programs they don't agree with? And I think the last time around, that one was about 52% yes. That in itself is, I think, massive. I don't think we alone at 10th Amendment Center, or me myself, we did this on our own. But certainly this message is getting out there that you don't have to participate in federal programs. You don't have to go along with them. And then on top of it, the feds just keep doing more and more stuff, and they're not going to be able to do. Ron Paul has often talked about nullification, saying, hey, we're going to have de facto nullification. And maybe we can call it that. Eventually, they're just going to do so much stuff. And I think they're probably there. That is, if people just kind of stop supporting the tyrant, then it won't be able to stand anymore.
Do you have any advice you'd give to anybody out there who's thinking about starting something not exactly like the 10th Amendment Center, but some kind of organization? Is there anything you say to yourself, I wish I had known this, or I wish I hadn't tried this, and so on and on, that you could tell the younger Michael Bolden today?
I'm still pretty young, Tom.
Younger, right? 10 years younger, Michael Bolden. What would you say to him about or anybody today that you've learned?
I would actually prefer to give my advice to people who aren't interested in starting an organization. I never thought of starting an organization. I just knew things were not the way that I wanted them to be. I just wanted to do something. So many times I hear from people, they say, you should do this, or you should do that, or why aren't you discussing this issue or that issue? Well, sometimes I'll tell them, look, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and sometimes I gotta sleep. And other times I say, you know what? At one point, I thought the same thing about some other organization. You should do this. And when they didn't, I decided to do it myself. So I believe I have had some impact on the national discussion and on how people are approaching things that the federal government does by taking action on a state, even a local level. And then I've gotten a lot of help from people to do that. But it didn't happen until I said, I'm going to do something. And I put some time to it. And I believe more and more people should do something to get the job done. More and more people really need to get involved in doing something, in my view, rather than hoping that someone else is going to do something, or coming on the internet, or just voting, or waiting for a lawsuit. I think the general mentality of how people view things is wait for someone else to get something done. Wait for a new president to come in to fix things, or a new Congress, or a court case. And it's my view, and I think a lot of people throughout history, whether it's Hoppe or James Madison or Rosa Parks, we can look to people by example and say, hey, look, they think that we should do something without waiting for the government people to tell us it's okay. It's time to actually put that into practice on a broader scale. And that's basically what we advocate for mostly today.
All right. Now, there's a lot more we could talk about. I think we'll leave it there. I want to encourage people to check out the 10th Amendment Center. Of course, you'll find it at 10thamendmentcenter.com, T-E-N-T-H, 10thamendmentcenter.com. We're going to link to that at tomwoods.com/688. Remember, I donate more to the 10th Amendment Center than to any other institution, and I do so on a monthly basis because I love what Michael's doing. He does it on a shoestring. Shouldn't be a shoestring, by the way. Should be the whole shoe, given all the success he's had and how reliable he is and hardcore and sound. And I think the way you got people talking about the NSA and your clever and creative ways to try and stop the NSA in terms of cutting off the water to them in Utah or making sure that evidence based on their snooping is not admissible in various courts. I mean, this is great. This is the sort of thing that if our so-called think tanks really did care about a free society, they would be doing instead of trying to stop you from doing. So that's why I say if you want to give money and you're getting a solicitation from a DC think tank, you should burn that, or you should cross off their address and mail it into the 10th Amendment Center, because there something will actually get done instead of just paying for the chauffeur to send the think tank president down the street to some other think tank. It's just not worth doing. So I'm really, really proud to be associated with the 10th Amendment Center, to participate in its events, to be able to call myself a donor. All these things give me tremendous pleasure, and all I can say is, Michael, congratulations on 10 wonderful years. And let's hope you have another 100.
Tom, I can't thank you enough. I really appreciate that.
All right. Now, tomwoods.com/688 will have links to the 10th Amendment Center, stuff like that. Of course, as always, it'll have the previous episodes when the guest was on. But I'm going to try to remember to put Mike Meharry's episode in there as well, talking about the 10th Amendment Center's plan against the NSA. It's as good a plan and practical a plan in terms of having likelihood of success and just being smart as you're likely to hear. So that's an episode definitely worth checking out over at tomwoods.com/688. I've also got yet another website to tell you about, started by a site listener, and it's another youngster. Now, I've got a young demographic, and that makes me happy. Look, I appreciate my older folks, too, and I am very quickly becoming one of you. But the young folks are going to be around a while, so it's great to see something like, for instance, the Gimme Liberty blog. It's gimmelibertyblog.com. That's gimme, G-I-M-M-E, gimmelibertyblog.com. I will link to that at tomwoods.com/688. And the author of this site says to me, I want my blog to cater to the younger generation and potential newcomers to the messages of liberty. But that doesn't mean all lovers of liberty aren't welcomed with virtual arms. I'm focusing on certain economic policies or ideas as well as their relation to politics and occasional current events I find important. My underlying goal is simply to spread the message of liberty. So when you go there, he's got discussion, you know, this recent horrifying comment about due process is killing us right now. He's got commentary on that, commentary on gun control, the Orlando shooting, Bernie Sanders, and so on. Good stuff, very good starting point for productive conversations, especially with younger folks. So check it out at gimmelibertyblog.com. And remember, you can get a shout out like this and a whole bunch of free bonuses, plus a backlink on my site, which will help you in the search engines at tomwoods.com/publicity. You have to check it out before you start your blog or website, and you can get all those free goodies, tomwoods.com/publicity. All right. That's it for this week. I'm out of town this whole week, and I'm not entirely sure about episode 689, exactly when we're going to have it, because I'm both out of town and getting ready for a move. It's really, really horrifying. That's all I have to say. However, I did two basically 90-minute episodes this week, so, you know, catch up on those, and we'll get to 689 as soon as possible. Thanks for listening.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.